Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're live in the Quicken Loans studios in New York on this, for us, pain-free Friday. Pearls don't have minutes on the mahogany, waxing it up. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. So go to PharrellOnABench.com for all my Saturday college football plays, Sunday NFL pain day plays, everything in the NBA, college rack, all weekend, Saturday, Sunday, NHL Saturday, Sunday. Is there any UFC or anything? I don't think so. Is there? Oh, there is?
Yeah, they got cut out in Denver tomorrow night, I believe.
What's that? Who's fighting there?
I got to look it up.
There you go. Very exciting event they have going on in Denver that no one knows who's fighting. That's what I mean when I talk about the oversaturation of that sport, where they just cram them down our throats every week and you don't even know who's fighting.
The Korean Zombie versus Yair Rodriguez.
Yeah. What a thrill. Cowboy
Cerrone's fighting a decent fight there.
Who?
What? With a what? So anyway, Carver High travel tips, as you know. Where do you think I should go, Carver High? Should I go back to the well with like an Aruba or a Cayman or a St. Thomas, like a return visit to one of those islands?
Whatever's going to make you happy for a week.
Oh, so anything that makes you happy is
I just don't – I mean, when you told me that you were just blindly telling your travel agent to book, you know, to pick a place, I mean,
well, I said,
for
give
the
me
amount
some,
of money that you spend on these vacations –
give me some options. I was like, come
know,
up with some ideas maybe. I mean, is that not what, like, I –
right, so you're going to look at a little portfolio of what –
yeah.
what she ain't just going to pick a place and book you,
no,
right?
No, she's going to give me some ideas of what to do. Here's a nice spot you haven't tried. Try this one, Scott. So she's the great Galena, a leader in the field, a maverick, a titan. She's like ahead of the curve. She sets the standard, a high bar. Expectations are way above the clouds. So we're hoping to hit another vein, if you will. A nice tap, a nice vein, a new source. I've been everywhere, man. Barbados, I've been to all of them. Wasn't I almost arrested there, Mafia, for felonies? Drugs? Something? Check. One, two.
Very likely.
Very likely. Could have been some local flavor. Some of the island Bakalulu. Anyway, I always try to convince her to go to Hawaii, Carver High, and she will not go on an airplane for 12 hours.
It's a long trip.
She can't fly anywhere for 12 hours.
So much travel involved in going there if you live on the East Coast.
The maximum flight is 6 hours for 34C. And she's jonesing.
Well, you'd have to do the 5 or 6, whatever it is, out to like L.A. or whatever, right, and then like take a break.
She joneses. She can't make it six hours. She was at my throat on a plane, like giving me the finger, like, because I'll be with like the kids or whatever. We'll have four across or something, you know, two on one side, two on the other. She'll look over at me and drop me the finger that I made her go 6 hours, because I took her to Cabo San Lucas once. She got all bent out of shape. Meanwhile, I had a fat crib there. For free. Wouldn't you fly 6 hours if you had a fat crib on the ocean free in Cabo San Lucas?
Yes.
Wouldn't you fly there 6 hours if you knew your wife was going to sleep with Sammy Hagar? Wait, are we on the air still? Check, one, two. Cabo Wabo, you've never been there, Carver High?
I have not.
You need to go there and drink. You are a champion of all drinking establishments and parties, and I would think that you would have fun at the Cabo Wabo. And not only is it a great distillery, but it is a venue for rock concerts. They have all kinds of great bands perform there and musical events. All right, so I have no clue where I'm going. I'm just allegedly going. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Any homeowners, renters, motorcycle, boat insurance, anything. Get it at geico.com. Johnny Mack in the Steel City on the Fan. You're on CBS Sports Radio. Johnny Mack, hey.
Yes, how are you? Hey, I got a suggestion for your vacation.
All right.
Negril, Jamaica.
Yeah, I've been to Jamaica a few times. And
Negril.
In a what? Oh, in Negril, yeah. I've been there. I've been to Negril and Ocho Rios and all of those. Isn't that the other place? I've been there to Montego Bay and all that. I will say this. I mean, I thought it was okay and everything. I thought it was cool. And, you know, I smoked a lot of reefer there. But I 34C did not like it. She found the pandering and the begging and the, you know, buy this, buy that, you know, the drug pushing and all the rest and people in your face the entire time. That's the feeling she got from it. Like, it was just constant harassment, just someone always in your face. I didn't feel that way about it. I thought it was pretty cool. I like Jamaica. And I've been through there a few times on boats as well. And, you know, one thing I found was most of the Jamaican women wanted to sleep with me.
They filmed Cocktail there, the movie.
I believe that.
Yeah. So anyway, the reason why I'm calling is, so what's your thought on Matt Murray? I call him Swiss Cheese Matt Murray. He goes out to the West Coast, plays great, and now he's sitting on the bench.
Yeah, I don't think that's the answer, sitting him on the bench. He's your two-time Stanley Cup winning goalie. They got to get him right is one of the problems. I think they're defensively, their issues are fairly glaring to me. I don't really have that much of a problem with them scoring goals. Obviously, during this five-game skid they're on, they're not scoring goals. So they got some issues for sure. I'd already asked Carver High this question at the beginning of the week if they had, you know, kind of jumped the shark, if they had, if their window was closing on their great run that they've been on. No one ever, you know, I get it. You win two Stanley Cups and now you're Swiss cheese and no one respects you. That's fine, too. I don't think they're the best team in hockey. I don't think they're the best team in the East. I think they're probably fourth or fifth. That's my, you know, flat out guess of where they are in terms of the conference. And then, you know, I would still say they're top 10 in the league. If you look at the West and East and stack them up, I think they're one of the 10 best teams in hockey. But I think there's teams that are better than them. Like, if they were to play, like, right now, those teams that I mentioned earlier, you know, the Tampa Bays and the like, I don't even think the Penguins could, frankly, beat the Islanders right now in a playoff series because they kicked their ass twice. And, you know, I think they'd have trouble with the Devils. The Devils are slumping right now, too. And they got their ass beat again tonight. They're struggling like the Penguins are. But it is not even Thanksgiving. I've always said that the hockey season begins January 1st. That's for me. It does anyway. And I know no one likes to hear that because they're like, oh, September, October, November, that all matters too. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. The points matter a little bit in October and November. I'll give you that. But the real season to me starts when they start having those outdoor games and they start playing and when it's snowing and it's cold and it's a new year and then the push from January to April and then May and June and somebody hoists.
So the GM did come out this week and kind of really ripped the team quite a bit. Rutherford was...
What'd he say?
Basically that he doesn't like what he's seeing. They're not playing with any energy. They're just... The other teams are outworking them. And he said that if it keeps up, there's going to be changes.
Do you think that any of those changes would include Sullivan? Like, because that's what they do. They fire coaches. They fired Bylsma. He won a Stanley Cup, right? They fire anybody in the NHL and NFL and baseball and NBA. They'll fire you the day they hire you. In fact, I think that's happened too.
I mean, he kind of made it sound like he was happy with Sullivan and that it was he was putting it all on the team.
Oh, is that right?
So, I mean, maybe there could be some changes if it keeps going.
Listen, I still think their core of Crosby, Malkin, Kessel, you know, is that not their heavies, really? And Gensel, is that not their four big guns? I don't think there's anything wrong with them. People can say whatever they want about Phil Kessel. The guy plays, and doesn't he have the Iron Man going right now in the NHL? The guy's played more games in a row than anybody. He's played, I mean, this guy's just always out there laced up and ready to go. I don't know if he skates hard the whole game, but he can sure score, and he knows how to find the net. I'll give him that. He's already had a hat trick this year in a game, so I don't doubt him. I don't doubt their ability to score. I do doubt their mental approach to games in October and November. They play like they don't care, and they play like the team that's just getting a paycheck, and they don't care whether they win or lose because they know they're getting paid. So, and, you know, it's off to the next village. They always say that after these games. It's, you know, pack it up, let's go, on to the next stop. You know, we'll check in at 3 in the morning to the hotel, get a couple hours of sleep, go to the morning skate. There you go. That's how they roll. So I don't think they take it seriously enough, but I think they do after January. Jim in New York City, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, man? What do you think? What do you got? What do you got? What do you got for Bryce Harper? Where's he going?
Well, first of all, let me say Boise scored again. They scored the last two. They're up 24-17 now in Fresno. It's a great game with about 9:20 left in the game and Boise on the blue carpet. But as far as Bryce Harper goes, you know, everyone and their brother, it seems like Carver High has said this, that it's Philly, that that's where he's going. I still have this weird sensation that the Giants are going to have something to say about it fiscally. And you wonder if, from what I've been told, Philly has more money available than anybody as well. So they probably have the inside track on it. But I don't know whether I buy all of that stuff or if it's true or not. We'll see. I think he's got, you know, one thing going for him, obviously, is Boris. Now, I won't deny that I think the guy's really good. And I won't deny that he had that incredible 2015 season. I won't, you know, argue with any of that. But actually, in my view, since then, like this year, what was he, 100 RBIs and 34 home runs? That's a huge season for guys. That's a career for some guys, right? So that was a bad season for him is what they were saying, right? That he had a bad season, and he still had 100 RBIs and 34 home runs. And that, but you're talking about 600 at-bats or something like that. This guy plays every day and gets the at-bat, so... A lot of guys think you can put up 30 home runs if you get 600 at-bats. If you have his skill, it's like burping, right? So, but I don't know. I don't believe, this is me, I have a hard time absorbing that he's worth $350 million. I really do. Now, I'll never forget when they gave A-Rod $275 million. I'd be willing to if it were me, this is me, because I don't know anything, right? I'm not a baseball GM. And I'm not carting checks up to the window for players and deals and, you know, writing long-term, you know, contracts or anything like that. But my point is this, is that I think he's worth about $275. I think he's – there's no way you can tell me that dude was better than A-Rod, if you ask me. Like, you know, people say that he is. I don't think he was. I mean, to me, Carver, you explain it to me. A-Rod was huge, right? He was enormous already, and he put up gigantic numbers, better than Harper's, if you ask me. What he did in Seattle and Texas and everything, this guy was worth $275 million. This other guy, they're just making up numbers for him. So your boy, Boris, he'll come up with this $350, $400, $500 million, and then people, they lose to him at the window. Negotiating-wise, Boris always wins for all of his clients. That guy never loses. He always wins the negotiation. He's clearly, in my view, and they know it. These guys like the Wilpons and Steinmeier's are scared to death of this guy, Boris, because they know that he doesn't lose at the table. And I think he's going to convince someone to give him $350 to $400 million. And I don't think he's worth more than $275 because I look at it like the A-Rod comparison. A-Rod was way better than him. Now, I'll give you it's a lot many years later.
Right, which is what he's going to tell you.
Closing the gap.
It seems like every year that he has a big client, the number gets bigger.
Right,
that
so but that's the marketplace. So the reality of the player valuation is what I'm talking about. I don't think he's better than A-Rod was. So I think he's only worth the fact that they say he's $350 before anyone even opens their mouth and talks, to me is insanity. I don't think he's worth that. I don't think he's that good.
Who do you think is worth more, him or Machado right now? Who do you think should get more money?
I think he should get more money than
Harper
Machado.
Harper over Machado.
Yes, I think Harper plays the game a lot harder than Machado, and he's worth more. A guy that plays harder and does more and I think puts up better numbers overall. I could be wrong, but like we've already seen the guy lollygagging and not hustling and everything else.
In the World Series.
And starting fights and kicking people and the stuff that he did in the playoffs was childish. I never saw him act that way in Baltimore, to be honest with you. I don't remember him being a D in Baltimore. But that's just my guess. The initial guess, you ask me who's worth more money, I say Harper than Machado. And I think Machado now has a bad rap. But people will still push that to the side and sign him because every team in baseball is – in their history is desperate. Everyone's always desperate for the next thing. They're desperate for the next season, the next win, the next title, the next ring, the next chance, the next postseason, the next pitcher, the next reliever, the next shortstop, the next draft pick. If they could get the number one, they would, right? They're all looking for the next phenom. They're all looking for the next Caribbean player. They're all looking for the next, from wherever, You know, all over the world, they're looking for players that are better than the players that we're breeding here, if you will. So I think he's better. Do you think he's better than Machado? You think Harper's better than Machado?
It's close.
Wow, there you go.
But I'm talking purely talent. I'm not getting involved. I'm taking out, you know, the stuff that went on with Machado here and the not hustling him even in.
Who do you think's better between Harper and Bryant?
Harper.
I do too. And Bryant has had certainly his fair share of injuries lately. Where
that's
he started to
him
want, you wonder if he's like frail.
But even though I think that, I think the Cubs would be crazy to deal him.
And the Yankees have talked to the Mariners about James Paxton, allegedly. But everyone is rumored to be going to the Yankees every year, so I don't really care about any of that either. 855-212-4CBS.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so I have this list I had Carver High get for me. It's the top free agents, right? The hottest commodities in baseball. Not that I really care. I'm just so surprised at the fans tonight, Carver High, that they're not talking about college football and pro football with all the action that's on the table Saturday and Sunday. I mean, I don't know what weekend there isn't a bevy of action in terms of betting. I mean, there's so many games that I think are delicious tomorrow, and Sunday is like no other. It's always the same on Sundays.
Very busy.
So I just think it's a great weekend to bet, and if you're not calling about the games, then I'll talk about, you know, my vacation, or I'll talk about these baseball players. Ryu of the Dodgers, the 20th best. Is that a word? Number 19, LeMahieu. DJ LeMahieu. I don't even think people know who that is, let alone that he's the 19th best available guy. Zach Britton. So they're automatic getting rid of him. No questions asked. The lefty Britton.
He's a free agent.
Marwin Gonzalez. Astros.
He is highly touted by a lot of people right now.
Anyway, LeMahieu's on the Rockies, and now they're saying he would be best in Boston. And then Marwin Gonzalez, he's with the Astros, and they should keep him. Andrew Miller, Indians. Now there's talk of the Yankees. Haven't we been down this road before with this guy, and isn't he starting to break down?
Is he not?
He's breaking down. I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole right now. Where was he in the postseason this year? Nowhere. Yasmani Grandal, Dodgers, best fit Astros. What do you think of this guy? He hit 241. What a staggering star. At number 15, the 15th best player available. Are you kidding me? I wouldn't want him either. Do you like him?
He's not a bad player. I know his defensive skills were definitely put into question during the postseason, but he can hit.
Wilson Ramos is with the Phillies. Best fit Nationals. A.J. Pollock, Diamondbacks. Best fit Giants. Ottavino, is that his name? Adam Ottavino with the Rockies, best fit Red Sox. I love how everyone's going to the Red Sox. Nathan Eovaldi, best fit Rangers. Why would they let him go? He can do whatever he wants, right? But wouldn't you try to keep him in Boston the way he pitched?
He's going
to
make a lot more money than he was making this year.
Charlie Morton of the Astros, do you think they should keep him? Look at Fresno going down to the 10. They're down 7 with 3 minutes left, a flag on the play, though, but their marching orders are for the end zone to try to tie this game in Boise. Great game tonight, 24-17. Nelson Cruz is number 9, Mariners, best fit Rays. Now, this guy hits home runs, 37 home runs, 97 RBIs, 38 years old, but boy, can he hit, right? Can that guy hit home runs? Michael Brantley, Indians, best fit Cardinals. Dallas Keuchel, Astros, best fit Braves. I told you this one. The guy that I would like is Carrasco from the Indians, if I were the Yankees. Go after Carrasco. Josh Donaldson, he's with the Indians. Best fit Cardinals. Kimbrel, best fit, stay with the Red Sox. Kimbrel, the 5th best. Patrick Corbin, the 4th best. The word is that the Yankees want Corbin, 29 years old. He wants them?
He wants them. We'll see if they want him.
Is that right? Why does he want them so bad? Just because of the money?
I believe grew up somewhere near here. The family grew up Yankee fans, love the Yankees, et cetera, et cetera.
Where is he from, John?
Syracuse. Outside Syracuse, but grew up a big Yankees fan.
There you go. Clayton Kershaw is already staying with the Dodgers, so that doesn't matter. Do you think that they're going to get burned on the Clayton Kershaw, or does he give them so many great regular season starts, and he's such a moneymaker for them and the organization and the fans and the merchandise and the, you know, everyone goes to Dodger Stadium to see Clayton Kershaw. That's all there is to it. Is he a hot commodity for that, or do you think his postseason failures and the like make him kind of that they paid him all that money and that they'll get burned by him?
Well, they're paying him for his regular season success. That's what they're paying him for. He gets it done there.
So they have Bryce Harper at number two, and the best fit is the Yankees. I don't believe that at all as a first baseman. And then Manny Machado is the number one free agent, and it's the Phillies. And his .297 batting average with 37 homers, 107 RBIs, there's no question, and 14 stolen bases. 5.7 WAR. The guy does put up huge numbers. They're the same age, Harper and Machado, but Harper's numbers are nowhere near that. Well, they are 34 and 100 and 13 stolen bases, but it's the batting average, 249 to 297. Machado hits for average, but I mean, has Harper hit for average? Because it just seems like his numbers, that hitting 250 is kind of boring, isn't it? At some point or another. All right, so we'll come back and we'll talk about these NFL games on Sunday and the matchups and the latest lines. 319 for Harper the year before that, so he just had a bad year at the plate in terms of average, but he had hit 319 the year before, so he can definitely do it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so we've developed some answers tonight. One that Carver I says it's dangerous to leave it in the hands of the great Galena, the vacation. Also that we are not fighting with people in Boston on the radio station. This is not accurate.
That was not an accurate thing that happened last
night. None of that was real.
That guy led us on.
We don't have any idea about any of that, and I have no beef with anyone there. I think that station's great. I always have. Have I not always thought that was a great station? It's like the best station on the entire track. We're on tons of great stations, and that one's a heavy hitter. I mean, that is some serious stuff they got going on up there. All the teams are great. The play-by-play is great. The shows are great. The hosts are great. It's huge. They get huge ratings. Why would I have a problem with anyone?
We were given misinformation by a caller last night. Misinformed. Terrible job by him.
I saw there was some reaction to it. There's some memes and some GIFs and some things going on the Twitter world.
Yes, that's how I first saw that it was going on. So that's when I went and listened to it.
I just looked briefly here. I was looking for something else, and I had noticed it. I was looking for something entirely. You saw me. I went in there and asked Mafia a question about the Pharrell on the bets. How about Furman beating Loyola Chicago tonight? I guess Sister Jean didn't help him out very much tonight in the Windy City. Where was Sister Jean? Down at the Borough Hall having a beverage?
What a shame.
And then how about Buffalo stunning Huggy Bear?
Nate Oates.
Very big effort there. And I guess it was a great ending to East Carolina James Madison. 73, maybe, was that what just happened there? James Madison beat East Carolina at the buzzer, 73-72. JMU, son, that's where Killer's Kid goes, Mafia. Anyway, I think his daughter goes there. She's a cheerleader there. Tyson Chandler is the missing piece that LeBron James needs in Lipstick City, it says here. Tyson Chandler. Can you imagine that they're going to put that on his shoulders now? He's the missing piece. He's the key to the Lakers winning the NBA championship. I mean, people have to be absolutely on acid if they think they're winning the NBA Finals. You're on acid.
Well, it just shows the power he has, though, that the fact that when do you ever see someone bought out at this part of the season? Like, usually you're bought out by trade deadline. When they can't get rid of you, so then they'll just buy you out and get rid of you. That he called up his boy James Jones and Suns front office and said, hey, like, if you're going to get rid of this guy, can you do it now? And he's over in L.A. already.
So the Warriors' biggest fear is injuries, and they're getting him now. Curry has, it's like a groin problem, if you will, an abductor. And then Sean Livingston has a sore right foot, and Iggy has a left calf problem. So... do you think injuries are the only thing that could derail the Warriors the rest of the season, or nothing can derail them?
Only injuries.
Only injuries.
Injuries definitely could, because all the money they have tied up, and that, you know, Hampton's five, the depth isn't the same as it used to be back behind them. So if you get one of those, if you get two of those guys down, if you say, you know, Durant and Curry or Thompson and Curry or Thompson and Durant, like if you get two of the top four or five players on that team hurt, there aren't guys behind them really fill in, you know, play even close to their level.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Boise State is up 24-17 with 18 seconds left. I believe it's fourth and one. What is there, a review on this play? Does anyone know what's happening? Does Boise State, it appears they have the ball on fourth and one? What are they measuring or something? All I know is they're up a touchdown, and if they have the ball and Fresno has no timeouts left, wouldn't it appear that this is really one? I mean, if it's fourth and one and they have the ball, don't they just, I mean, I think they're deep in Fresno territory too, at least at the 44. What do you do? Do you quick kick it or something? What would you do here on this play? Because I'm looking at it right now. I think they're measuring here, but then
if it ends up being fourth down, they're reviewing it. If it does, I have to kick.
That's right, you kick here.
With where you are on the field, I get there's not a lot of time.
They won't have time to do anything. If you kick the ball, they're going to have what? 12 seconds left, no timeouts, and you got to go 80 yards? I mean, you got one chance at a miracle.
You got to make sure you get it off. Don't get it blocked. I mean, there's a lot of factors at play.
You got to have like a miracle bomb or some defender falls down and the guy catches it and goes hizzy. That's basically it, right? Scott in Baltimore, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Scotty, can you pour me a Mexican sunset on the rocks?
Absolutely. Mavi, can you get him one of those? I got to tell you, too, I have Boise in this game getting two. I took Boise in the upset over Fresno in Boise on the blue carpet. I thought they'd win tonight, so I took them, and they're up by a touchdown with 18 seconds left. And I hit Syracuse both ways as well, laying 21. Scotty, what's up?
Listen, I think you guys are selling Manny short. When Manny was here in Baltimore, he was a perfect teammate. He was great with the media. Baltimoreans love the guy. He's actually a better clubhouse player than Bryce Harper. Now, I do think Bryce Harper is a slightly better player now, but I think when you compare their two careers, I think Manny will have a better career. And he was a great role model here in Baltimore.
Well, first of all, let me ask, hold on one second, Scott. Did you see this measurement that they just gave him? That was an inch short of a first down. They gave him the first down. I mean, you could see an inch between the ball and the first down marker.
So they gave it to him.
They gave it to him. It's like the most incredible thing. All of the players for Fresno were freaking out. Like, he's short. But the game's over now. The clock's winding down. Boise wins 24-17. So I hit both of those bets. 4-0 tonight in college football bets. Look, I'm not selling Machado short. I think he's, like I said, the guy has great numbers. And he hits for 300 and he drives in 100 runs. He hits 37 home runs. I can't argue with any of that. All I know is, I never saw him act like a D in Baltimore. I thought he was more of a D in Dodgerland than he ever was in Baltimore. I never saw him cause a problem in Baltimore. And, in fact, I never knew him to be lazy in Baltimore. I just saw him play the Yankees a million times and always do damage. It was either he or Adam Jones that were doing the damage. And every time you played the Orioles, that's who you had to worry about. And now, he's going to make a ton of money. There's no denying that. So it's not like I think he sucks or something. And it's not like I think he's not going to be a good player. I don't think that at all. I just think, he's got a bad rap now as being lazy and everything else. But that's not going to matter either. He's still going to make all that money. So I don't care one way or the other. I also don't think that, you talk about he's going to have a better career. We don't know that. I mean, he's had the knees. He's had issues. We don't know if that's going to come back to haunt him. Nobody knows anything about the future. You're just, I think, guessing that he's going to have a better career than Harper. We don't know. They both have put up huge numbers. They're both hugely successful. They both swing a big stick, and they're both going to be filthy rich very soon.
The numbers are virtually identical.
They're like identical, the numbers.
I mean, Machado, for his career, they both obviously came in the league at 19 in 2012. So it's very comparable. Machado with 175 homers. Bryce with 184. Bryce has 521 RBIs. Machado's got 513. Machado, 282 career hitter. Bryce Harper, 279 career hitter.
I mean, they're like almost identical. But you could say Harper's numbers there are better.
I do. One thing that Scott did bring up that I do believe, just because of how things have gone in that with the Nationals the last few years, mm-hmm. I do believe that he was a man alone in that clubhouse. I believe that.
Yeah.
I don't. You've heard those stories that he's not, you know, everybody's buddy in there, and
right.
he kind of does his own thing, beats to his own drum,
right.
which isn't the worst thing. I mean, it's nobody says you have to be the leader in the clubhouse.
Who has to be rah-rah?
Right, but I do believe that Harper's kind of out on his own program.
Well, there you go. So where do they put him then, where he can be on his own and have no friends? Where do they put him? Where he could be the selfish narcissist, if that's what they're describing him as. I always thought he was just a cool dude. I'm sure he is,
but that he could be a cool dude, but, you know, he's
beats to his own drum.
Not going to hang out with everybody in a locker room or
there
whatever.
Well, who says you have to be best friends with everybody? You know what I mean?
That was the picture painted by some.
Jason in Niagara Falls.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Hey, just look at the football games this weekend. I think this is one of the worst weekends for matchups as far as teams go. Like, nothing really jumps out at me. What do you think, Cincinnati at home? Think they got a chance to upset New Orleans? Maybe New Orleans still riding high with a win on Sunday, and maybe Cincinnati can sneak one by.
I'm not a big fan of back-to-back road games. I don't care who you are. It's tough in the NFL to win on the road, and they won that game in New Orleans, right? So they beat the Rams in New Orleans. Now they go out on the road and take on Cincinnati. So I think, you know, that game was huge, but I don't, you know, these guys are pros. It's not like college where they have this huge upset and then they have this huge letdown. I think the Saints just have to go out, play their game, handle their business. I don't think it really matters about Dez Bryant either. He was never on the team for a day in practice. Something, he tears his Achilles, he's done. We'll see what they do at receiver. They allegedly have talked about, I guess, Brandon Marshall. Trust me, you, that guy's not the answer either. How many times is this guy going to get 50 jobs and never amount to a hill of beans either? So, I don't know. You talk about the games, none stand out, but, you know, I still think Seattle and the Rams could be a good game. Detroit-Chicago could be a good game. Jags-Colts, I think, will be a good game. I think the Pats-Titans will be a good game. Saints and Bengals will be a good game as well. And I'm sure the Falcons will probably play down to the Browns and make that a good game too. Joe in Detroit.
Mr. Farrell, thank you so much. I love your show.
Thanks, man.
I wanted to get your opinion on Michigan going into the Ohio State game.
Right. Well, they're going to beat up Rutgers this weekend, and then what do they got, Indiana? And then they're going to win that game easily, and then they're going to play Ohio State. The key to the entire Ohio State game, as far as I'm concerned, is that the Buckeyes have to win in East Lansing tomorrow. They can't afford to lose that game. If they lose that game, I hate to say it, no one wants to hear it, but if they lose that game, then the Michigan-Ohio State game is meaningless.
Do you think that Michigan's going to be able to take Ohio State?
You know, they never do they? So I think they're better than Ohio State this year, but it's very hard to prove. One team had a bad day in West Lafayette, and the other team had a bad day in South Bend, so... They're both one-loss teams, and I think everyone just thinks Michigan's better because they've won every game except for the Notre Dame game to open the season.
It's such a nerve-wracking game for us, and over the years, obviously, you know, it's just...
They don't play well against them, and they certainly don't play well against them in Columbus, but I do think Michigan is better, and I think they're better right now as of this week, in November, and we'll see in 3 weeks if they're better. Everything could change with injuries in the next 2 weeks. You don't know who's going to get banged up in these two games that they have to play. But I think the Rutgers-Indiana schedule makes things look a lot easier for Michigan, that they could literally blow their nose and beat both of them.
But I will say, even if Ohio State did somehow lose tomorrow, which I don't think they will, they'll beat Michigan State, I think no matter what, that Michigan game is enormous because No matter, Michigan hasn't beat him. Well, Harbaugh has not beaten
and
him.
And Ohio State could ruin Michigan's season.
Right,
because
I think that that's
table.
Still a huge spot, no matter what.
Brock Lesnar to work the Royal Rumble, and they're eyeing a UFC match with Cormier in March. How about the Heisman Trophy of legendary Notre Dame wide receiver Tim Brown set to be put up for auction? Did you know that he had already sold it to some guy?
Yes, I saw that when I read that.
So tonight. That's the guy auctioning it, him, not Brown. Why did he sell it?
People need money.
Do you really think Tim Brown needs money?
I guess so.
My God.
That has to be the only reason you would sell that
I
piece
guess.
Of memorabilia.
Sean in Boston on the hub real quick.
Hey, Pharrell, first time, long time. Anyway, I could get a beverage for me?
Get him a beverage. I got 10 seconds, bro. I'm out of time.
Oh, I'm very sorry about that, but thanks very much. I appreciate it. Coming from Boston, we have we're a spoiled town. I'm not even going to begin to deny that.
Right.
All the championships
right.
and the winning that's going on around us. And I know you always talk about saying, hey, watch a Patriots game if you want to see good football.
Right.
But speaking of football this weekend, DC's playing against Clemson, and it's the most underrated game. Like,
I think they're in trouble against Clemson. I don't care really about the fall and the leaves and the rain and the cold weather. Let's see if they can beat Clemson tomorrow night. The only thing that is interesting is the spread is 17, whatever. That's what the game's about, is that number. I still think Clemson's way better than them. Have a great weekend. Check out Pharrell and the Bets on Saturday and Sunday for Carver. I am Mavi and Pharrell. Good night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.